Morning, we're going to take our text from Acts 26. However, it takes us a little while to get there. We need to observe some background leading up to the verse that we'll use for our text. So we'll eventually get to Acts 26, but right now in Acts chapter 21, verse 17, and when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. So here Paul arrives in Jerusalem. As you read on, you see that he gives a report to the Jerusalem church. We then go into the temple. Following this, the city was stirred against Paul, casting false accusations against him. They eventually would lay hold of him with the intent of killing him. Notice in verse 30 and 31, and all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, that was their intent. As they went about to kill him, we see God intervened. Tidings came unto the chief captain of the band. Who did that? God did. That all Jerusalem was in an uproar. So the providence of God disrupts their design. And then in verse 32, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating Paul. So their intent was to beat him to death. But when the chief captain came down, they stopped. Again, that's the hand of God. We see that the chief captain then chained Paul and asked the multitude who he was. Who is this man? And what crime he had committed. They gave differing answers. So the chief captain ordered Paul to be taken to the castle. Notice again verse 32 and verse 34. Who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down into them. When they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, some another, among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And as they were walking up the stairs to the castle, the multitudes shouted, in verse 36, for the multitude of the people followed after, crying, away with him. That is, kill him. Kill him. That was their intent. But they'd been interrupted. We see Paul turned to the chief captain, and he asked to speak to him. And Paul was granted permission to speak to the people, which he did. And that's recorded in Acts chapter 22. And what he told the people was, he told them about his former life. There in chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. And in verses 6 through 21 of chapter 22, he tells of his conversion. And then we have the reaction of the people in verse 22 and 23 of chapter 22. And they gave him audience unto this word and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. This man does not deserve to live, was the response to the testimony of Paul. And as they cried out and cast their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain then commanded Paul to be brought into the castle, to be scourged. Verse 24, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging. That is, you whip him in hoping that he will talk. So, examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. Before the scourging started, Paul questioned the lawfulness of beating a Roman citizen who was uncondemned. We see that in verse 25, and as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? This led to the chief captain calling the Sanhedrin together, and we see Paul before the Sanhedrin in chapter 23, verses 1 through 11. Now keep in mind, there was a plot against Paul's life by certain Jewish zealots. And when the chief captain heard of their plan to kill Paul, he sent Paul by armed guard to Caesarea, where he would be tried by Felix, the governor. And we read that in Acts chapter 24. Now, Felix had left Paul, he's in Caesarea now, and he had left Paul imprisoned basically as a political favor to the Jews. And he left Paul in prison for 2 years. Here's a man, he has not been charged with any crime. He's now imprisoned for 2 years. At the end of those 2 years, Felix was replaced as governor by Festus. Now, the Jews wanted Paul to be brought back to Jerusalem. The reason, they wanted to kill him. But Festus would not grant their wish. So Festus leaves Jerusalem, heads to Caesarea to hear the accusations that have been brought against Paul and to hear Paul's own defense. It was at that time that Paul appealed unto Caesar of Rome. Festus finds himself in somewhat of a predicament. He has no charges to bring against Paul. So he sends for King Agrippa to hear Paul's case before he is sent to Rome. And we see that in chapter 25, verses 1 through 21. In verse 22 of chapter 25, Paul's before Agrippa. In verse 22, then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. That is, I've heard what you've had to say. I want to hear what Paul has to say. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. Agrippa arrives at the hearing with his sister Bernice. Verse 23. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come and Bernice, that's his sister, but notice how they came with great pomp. Was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and the principal men of the city at Festus' commandment, and Paul was brought forth. So they enter this place of hearing with great pomp, much ceremony, ritual, pageantry, majesty. The chief captains are there. The principal men of the city are there. All this is at the commandment of the governor Festus. Festus speaks of his predicament in verses 24 through verse 27. His predicament basically was this. In spite of the Jews' desire to see Paul killed. Festus affirms that the man has done nothing worthy of death. Yet, though he has not done anything worthy of death, I am going to let him appeal to Caesar. But there's no crime. So how can I let him appeal to Caesar? There's no charge. So Festus's predicament was this: how do I write this up? How do I present this to Caesar? So he calls for Agrippa and these others to give him some advice. Festus thought it was unreasonable to send a prisoner to Rome with no crimes against him. Paul was completely innocent, but not only that, he'd been in prison for 2 years. So how can I bring this to Caesar? This man's been done wrong. And again, he's hoping that Agrippa will have some suggestions. In chapter 26 and verse 1, then Agrippa, keep in mind they're in this place of hearing now, said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. And as he had done aforetime, in verses 4 through 11, he speaks of his condition prior to his salvation experience. And then in verses 12 through 23, he tells of how God saved his soul. As he is speaking, in verse 24, Festus speaks up. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. You are crazy. You have lost your mind, is what Festus says, and he says it with a loud voice. Much learning doth make thee mad. In verse 25, Paul answered Festus, and he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. I'm not crazy. I haven't lost my mind, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Paul, in verse 26, then appeals to Agrippa by stating that even Agrippa knew the things concerning Christ's death and execution. He's saying, Agrippa, you know how Christ was crucified, and you know how he rose again. And none of these things were done in secret or done in a corner. In verse 27, he spoke directly to Agrippa. He said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? He knew he did. Agrippa believed the Old Testament prophets concerning the death and the resurrection of Christ. So he turns to Agrippa and he says, I know that thou believest. Agrippa believed the Old Testament prophets. And then we read of Agrippa's response in verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I believe that verse is taken out of context almost every time it's spoken of. I don't believe that Agrippa is saying there, almost you persuade me to be saved. I don't think that's what he's saying. Almost thou persuadest me to be a follower of Christ, a Christian. Almost you persuade me to be a follower of Christ. He believed the Old Testament prophets. That brings us to our text in verse 29. And Paul said, this is in response, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day. Remember, he's in that room where they held this hearing. The chief captains are there. Festus is there. Agrippa's there. The principal men of the city are there. We're both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Paul had been hated, falsely accused, thought worthy of death, beaten, imprisoned, mocked, and ridiculed. And yet he felt so blessed of God that he says to Agrippa and all that were there, "I wish you were like me, except for these chains. I wish you were like me." Now that there is a man who feels blessed of God in spite of his circumstances. I want to speak this morning. I wish others were like me. Now I know to many that sounds like a very arrogant statement. In fact, when this gets, that title is posted on the webpage, people probably look and say, "Man, is that guy conceited?" They won't listen to it, but just from the title. I wish that others were like me. That's not a statement of arrogance. There are many things that I don't like about Dan Gordon. There are many things I can't stand about Dan Gordon. I can identify with Job in Job 42:6. I abhor myself. We can identify with Peter in Luke 5:8. I am a sinful man. And we can certainly identify with Paul in Romans chapter 7. But that being said, there is a sense in which I wish others were like me. I say that as one blessed by God. In Psalm 115 and verse 15, I read a very clear statement about myself and about every child of God. It says there, "Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Having said that, ye are blessed of God. I can identify with Jacob in Genesis 32:10. "I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown me." I am blessed of God. You are blessed of God. And none of us are worthy of a single one of those blessings. All blessings of God are an extension of His grace. They are an extension of His mercy. And I stand before you today as one blessed of God, a recipient of His grace, a recipient of His mercy. And in that sense, I can say I wish others were like me. I wish everyone was like me in that sense. That's what Paul is saying to Agrippa and those in that room. I hope that everyone understands that this is not a statement of superiority. Because I'm no better or more deserving than any other sinner on this earth. And neither are you. But because of the grace and mercy of God, I'm better off than most. All because of the mercy of God. And I've had people through the years say, "Well, you think you're better than me." And I always have the same response: "No, I really don't." I know you probably don't believe that, but no, I really don't. But I'll tell you this, I'm better off than you are. And let me tell you why. And then you can proceed to tell them about the Lord. First of all, I wish everyone was like me concerning the assurance of salvation. Paul, on numerous occasions from Acts chapter 21, gave his testimony of salvation. And he did so, he spoke with great assurance. He spoke with conviction concerning the fact that God had saved him, and in saving him had transformed him. And he says to Agrippa, "Agrippa, I wish you were like me." Paul is saying, "Agrippa, the Lord in His grace, the Lord in His mercy, has raised me up from a spiritual grave. He has brought me and fetched me out of the terrible and crushing, out from under the terrible and crushing weight of sin and death. And Agrippa, I wish you were like me. He has fetched me out of the depths of unrighteousness. He has fetched me out of the depths of wickedness and out of the depths of alienation and out of the depths of darkness and enmity and spiritual bankruptcy and condemnation, out of the depths of filth, out of the depths of vileness and wretchedness, out of the depths of my unsaved condition. He has set me free by His grace and His mercy. And oh, Agrippa, I wish you and everyone else in this room were like me." Oh, and each one of us that are saved can say that. I wish others knew these things. Again, these are the words of a man that knows he has been blessed of God. The child of God should never get stuck in a place, "Woe is me. Oh, everything goes wrong for me." Wake up! You've been blessed by God. You've been saved. And your attitude ought to be, "I wish others were like me." And that was Paul's attitude. And here's a man who's been falsely accused. He's been beaten nearly to death. And would have been beaten to death had it not been for the providential hand of the Lord. So these are the words of a man who knew that he'd been blessed of God. And you and I that are saved, we've been blessed by God's grace, God's mercy. We have passed from death unto life. Don't you wish others knew that? Don't you wish others could experience that? Born from above. Made anew. I've been born of God. I wish others knew of that. I have the forgiveness of sin. My sins have been blotted out, put away, and removed. Washed from the filth of sin. Declared not guilty in the high court of heaven. We can say, "I wish others were like me." You look at that sinner, living in their filth, living a life of shame. We ought to be able to say, "I wish he knew what I knew." I've been reconciled to God, accepted in Christ, redeemed from the curse of the law, delivered from the power of darkness, delivered from the wrath to come. Every day I wake up as a child of God. I wish others were like me. I wake up an heir of God, an heir of a joint heir. Every day. Others wake up on their way to hell. I wake up every day with an inheritance. How can I get so down in the dumps? Oh, what was me? Every day. You're blessed of the Lord. I'm rich. I'm rich beyond measure. I am in Christ. Nothing can change that. I'm a partaker in Christ. I have been made complete in Christ. Clothed in His righteousness. I wish others were like me. Again, I have nothing to do with any of these things. It's all by the grace and mercy of God. And I'm not worthy of the least of all His mercies. I have peace with God. I am a citizen of heaven. I have sufficiency in all things. I have grace and abundant supply. I have access to God. I have access to God. There are people today who are going through tremendous trial, and they have no access to God. I wish others were like me. Amen. I have access to God, not because of anything in me. I have a great high priest. I have an unfailing intercessor. I have a sovereign God who is working all things for my good. And all my needs are supplied in Christ. I am His workmanship, kept by the power of God, preserved in Jesus Christ. If you are here and unsafe today, I wish you were like me. I wish others were like me in knowing, seeking, knowing, seeing, and experiencing spiritual realities. God, in His grace and mercy, and not because of any worthiness in me, but rather in spite of me, has let me know, has let me see and experience God. What a life. I have been allowed, in spite of myself, to know God. I have been allowed to see God, not in a physical way. And I have been allowed to experience God. He is God. He is the Almighty One. He's the Faithful One. He's the Most High. He's the Absolute and Settled One, the One who reigns supreme. And by His grace and mercy, I have been allowed to know Him. By His grace and mercy, I've been allowed to see Him. By His grace and mercy, I've been allowed to experience Him. I wish others were like me. And I have been blessed beyond measure. If my life were to end today, God has given me a wonderful life. It's not because I haven't traveled. That's not what makes life wonderful. Haven't obtained a lot of wealth. That's not what makes life wonderful. God has given me a wonderful life because He's allowed me to know Him. I mean, it just don't get better than that. He's allowed me to see Him. He's allowed me to experience Him. And when you talk to an unsaved sinner, it's in the midst of a trial, and you can see they have nowhere to go. They have nowhere to go. And you can talk and talk and talk to them, but it means very little. Oh, I wish they were like me. Blessed of the Lord. God is the rock. He's the refuge. He's the fortress. He's the shield. He's our help. He's our support. He's our provider. He's our healer. He's the shepherd, the protector, the feeder, and the friend that every individual needs. And by His grace and mercy, I have been allowed to know this. I know Him in this way. I've been allowed to see Him in this way, and I've been allowed to experience Him in this way. And therefore we can say, I wish others were like me. He's the answer. He's the answer. If people would only listen. He's the answer. He's the one who's greater and larger than all. The one who excels all. He's a God who can. He's the one who can furnish and give and provide whatever I need, wherever I need it. And by His grace and mercy, I've been allowed to know that. What a wonderful blessing just to know that. What a wonderful blessing just to know that God reigns and that God has everything I need and that God can provide everything I need. What a blessing to know that. What a blessing to see that. What a blessing to experience that. What a life God has given us. I have been blessed. God in His grace and mercy has allowed me to know, see, and experience what I read in this book. I love to read the Word of God. I love to get stuck in a verse and just live there for a while and be able to say, I know exactly what that means. Not by secondhand information, but we've experienced it. Deuteronomy, just refer to a couple scriptures here. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Verse 25, these are things that you and I have been allowed to know, things we've been allowed to see, things we've been allowed to experience. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. I know that. I've seen that. I've seen it in others. I've seen it in myself. And I've experienced it. And I wish others were like me. Notice verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge. I know that. I've been allowed to see that. I've been allowed to experience that. And underneath are the everlasting arms. No matter where I fall into the everlasting arms of God. We know this. We've seen this. We've experienced this. Psalm 23. We'll not turn there, but you know the psalm. That's my life. Psalm 23. It describes our life as a child of God. We've been allowed to know those things. We've been allowed to see those things. We've been allowed to experience those things. You know how many people, almost everyone, has heard the 23rd Psalm, and it's meaningless. I mean, it's all those are such beautiful words, but they don't know what they mean. Don't you wish that others were like you that knew the Lord is my shepherd? I'll just stop there and just rejoice for a day. The Lord is my shepherd. We are blessed. Notice Isaiah 41. And for time's sake, we'll just refer to a few scriptures. But Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I know all about that. God's come to me many times and says, fear thou not. I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. We've had God speak those words to us. We've had God hold our hand. You go on there in verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places. He doesn't just say, I will open rivers. That's not what he's saying. He said, I will open rivers in high places. Rivers aren't in high places. I'll open rivers where you don't expect to find any, is what he's saying. And fountains in the midst of the valleys. And I will make the wilderness a pool of water. And the dry land, springs of water. Then notice Isaiah 42, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. God has blessed us that are saved to know these things, to see these things, to experience these things. So much so that we can say, I wish others were like me in this. So blessed of God. It has been made to you and I, made known to you and I that are saved, that we can have confidence in Him. My heart breaks for people who cannot have confidence in God. I wish they'd be so blessed as I have been to have confidence in God. We can depend upon Him. We can lean upon Him. We can look to Him. You tell a lost sinner to look to God, they're going to give you a blank stare. What in the world are you talking about? You tell many who profess to be saved, you'll get that same stare. We can come to Him. I can go to God. What a blessing. I can draw from God. Not everybody can do that. And the only reason I can is because of His grace and mercy. I'm not worthy of the least of all His mercies. But I can draw from God. And if I can draw from God and don't, that makes me pretty foolish. In Him we find love. That's why it's good to draw near to God. You feel His love. You feel His comfort. We find assurance in God. I mean, Paul was not in a situation that he would have chosen. But he had assurance. We can find hope in God. That's where we find strength, courage, contentment, and refreshment. And again, we identify with Psalm 115:15, you are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And as such, we wish others were like us. We, by His grace and mercy, we have been allowed to know, see, and experience Jesus. To know Him. To see Him. To experience Jesus Christ. The one who has brought more comfort, more cheer, more hope than any other. The one who has impacted and altered and transformed more lives than any other. We've been allowed to know Him, to see Him, and experience Him. By His grace and mercy, and no worthiness in ourselves, we have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us. I've been blessed. He who is the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the one that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells within. And in doing so, He actively convicts. I'm glad that when I start to go astray, He convicts me. I'm glad He don't wait 2 weeks to do it. Amen. He convicts me. I wish others knew that conviction. He not only convicts, but He draws us. He not only draws us, but He teaches us. And He leads us, and He assures us, and He comforts us, and He reveals. And He testifies of Christ. And then He enables in whatever it is that He's revealed. He enables. But that's not all. He also works within us the desire to know the Lord better. I have a desire to know God better. Not because I'm anything special. Not because of anything in me. Because I'm not worthy of the least of His mercies. But all because of His grace and mercy. I have a desire for God's Word. I have a desire for God's will. I have a desire in my heart because of the Holy Spirit to be in subjection to God, and for God to be glorified. We that are saved have desires for holiness and righteousness. We have desires for the house of God. Now, I can't hardly help but think every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening that we pull out of our cul-de-sac. Neighbors are sitting on the porch perhaps, or out mowing, or doing whatever they do. I wish they were like me. I wish they had a desire to go to the house of God. And the only reason I have that desire is His grace and His mercy. So again, we can identify with Psalm 115:15, "You're blessed of the Lord." And therefore we can say, "I wish others were like us." Blessed of the Lord. So may we go from here today knowing whatever is going on in your life, good, bad, or otherwise, go from here as a child of God knowing I am blessed of the Lord. So much so that I wish others were like me. There are going to be times of trial and suffering and difficulty and problems and pressures and on and on and on we can go. But I'm blessed. I'm blessed of God. And I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loves me. And I am so blessed of God that I wish others were like me. So go from here today knowing you that are saved, you are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. And that such would be manifest in our life. So yes, we can say with Paul, I wish everyone was like me. Not because of anything we have done. Not because of anything that we have deserved. Not because of anything we have earned. Because none of those, we haven't earned anything, we haven't deserved anything other than hell. But because of His grace and mercy, I am blessed. I am blessed. And that's why when we get to heaven, however many trials you've gone through in this life, you're going to get to heaven and you're going to realize, I have been blessed. But isn't it time that we realize it now? While we live our lives upon this earth. Thank you, Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 1.